Good evening, Wisconsin. Welcome to another episode of Raised in Wisco. By this intro, you know it is another girls' night out. Our fearless leader, Joel Clayfish, is out in Spain, I believe. I know it's horrible of me not to remember. I believe he's in Spain because last week he was in New York. But I'm your co-host, Danielle Fairman. Happy Duck Opener weekend or week. If you live in the southern zone, south of 10, our duck season opens on the 10th. But for our northern friends, north of 10, it opened up last Saturday. And I had the privilege of actually going up, and we did all right. I missed a lot more than I thought I was going to miss, which I hate that I'm admitting that on radio, but I did. I didn't practice as much as I should have. Tisk, tisk. But you are listening to us on 540 AM, 101 FM, WAUK. Remember, you can tell your Bluetooth to play, what's the name of our show? Raised in Wisco on WAUK. You can find us on Spotify, or you can find us on civicmedia.us. So, first things first, I want to send out prayers to everybody in Florida. And everybody being affected by this hurricane, it is something vicious. And I was just in Fort Myers last year in January, and looking at videos now and comparing my pictures from beforehand is just devastating. So our prayers definitely go out to everybody being affected. But, oh, I'm so excited for this episode. So I am kind of a fangirl. This girl that came down 2 hours just for us, everybody. 2 hours. I had the pleasure of bow fishing with her once, I believe.
Yes.
And that was it. She is just such an amazing woman. And when I say I am a Facebook stalker, this is definitely who I mean. I'm Facebook stalking. She is quite spectacular. I got to introduce her famous daughter, Lucia. Hi, Lucia. Hello. I'm more excited to get you on here than Stephanie. Don't tell her, okay? But when I say famous, because she was just on a commercial or for the news. What was it on, Lucia?
Both.
Excuse me. But let's see. Yeah, I went fishing with her one time. Bow fishing with her one time. And going back to last episode, how I say girls, we support each other. We're here for each other. We want each other to join into this outdoor community of ours. Because, yes, it's awesome hunting with men. Men have nothing to do. But when we have other females out there, we have different relationship with them. We can talk to them about different things like, you know, men. We can't talk to men without men. But so, Stephanie, hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going great.
How was your day?
It was an interesting day. I work in a middle school. I work at Lombardi Middle School. So I did a lot of presentations today. So nice. It was kind of a busy day. It went really fast.
That's good though.
Yeah.
So Lombardi, so you live on the Oneida, is that how you pronounce
Correct.
It? Oneida Reservation, just by Green Bay.
Correct.
So how big is Oneida Reservation? I am very low on this knowledge. So explain to me where do you live? How did you get into hunting? Give me Stephanie.
Okay. I guess we'll start how I got into hunting. My dad had two daughters, and I was the older one, and I was pretty much raised like a boy. So he nice. Wanted somebody to go hunting and fishing with and four-wheeling and things like that. So he always brought me along, and I loved it. So that's kind of where my love for it started. And then I grew up on Lower Phantom Lake in Maguanago.
Oh, nice.
Yes. And so my grandpa used to come. He'd drive down from Milwaukee, and he'd come out, and he'd fish. We'd do a lot of bass fishing and catch a lot of lily pads and bass.
Yes, definitely. But,
so he kind of was the one that really sparked my love for fishing. I had been fishing since I could hold a fishing pole. I remember my aunt awesome. Just handing me a stick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then I graduated up to Snoopy pole. And,
aww. Yeah. Not a Snoopy, not a Barbie pole.
Yes.
A Snoopy one.
It was absolutely a Snoopy pole. So, and that's exactly how I'm raising her. She went Yay. Fishing for the first time ever when she was in pull-ups, and she Aww. Caught her first fish, and she's been along on many fishing adventures, and she's been spearfishing the last couple years because we live on Oneida. She's able to spearfish. So
that's
we
so
just
cool.
We bring her along. She the first year out, she just went for suckers, kind of the practice fish.
Yeah.
And I didn't have waders for her. I didn't know how much she'd really enjoy it. And it was late April. And so it was cold. You know, it was like 40 degrees outside. I don't even know how cold the water was.
Yeah.
She horseback rode at the time. So we had
that's cool.
In her horseback riding boots. And she had a little like skirt short
nice
and she was just going to town on those suckers.
So she was a natural from the beginning.
Yes,
that's awesome. Do you remember that fishing trip? Do you, what was your first fishing trip you remember? It's okay if you don't remember right now, because you're going to remember. Those ideas always come back in my head. I'm like, oh, wait, what did you ask me 3 days ago? Because I remember it now.
Do you remember spearing suckers? Do you want to talk about spearing or when you speared that walleye?
Oh,
can you talk
speared a
about
walleye?
It?
So, you, like, you need a flashlight, and then sometimes you need, these pants.
Waders.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you, like, flash the flashlight everywhere, and then when you see one, it's better if the water is like hard and it's pushing this way, and then the fish is pointing the opposite way the water is going.
Yeah.
So it's going to be harder for him to swim.
You want the fish to swim upstream, correct?
Good job.
Yeah, and then you like sneak up. And then you like you had to use two hands and a spear. Then you had to stab it as hard as you can. Then you had to try to get it, and you had to go like really fast before it swims away.
Oh man, I have never done. I'm 34 years old, and I have never done that. That sounds. Could you teach me? I feel like you could. You feel like a natural teacher. Do you remember? Was that the walleye that you speared?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you eat it right away?
Yeah.
Walleye is one of my favorite fish to eat. Now, have you gone spearfishing? You obviously have,
yes,
probably. Do you remember your first one?
I do. And interestingly enough, so my husband's Oneida, and I am able to get a spousal license and a land use ID. So as a spouse, I'm able to go along with, because essentially we're feeding, you know, our Oneida children, our family, and things like that. When we do get fish, we'll donate a lot to elders and things like that. Actually, she's been dropping off a lot of the fish that she's caught. She went on a, we went to the UP trout fishing, and she gave a lot of her fish, almost all of it away. So we're teaching her those lessons too, to be able to take care of different community members, and, you know, she's able to go out and fish and harvest, so we're able to share it, and it's just a good feeling, and it's a good thing to teach the youth.
Nice. So, spearfishing. So, when I picture spearfishing, I picture... Do you know what an atlatl is?
Yes.
Yes, I picture an atlatl. For people that are listening, an atlatl is just like a... I want to say like a 5 foot... It's just like an actual arrow that you put on bow, but huge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's essentially what it is, what you would spear with, not just like a broomstick sharpened and just...
It was actually, I used a rake handle.
Oh, that's what it was.
Like a frog gig on the top of it. And then I like tried to put it together with an old rake handle, and
that's
it split,
awesome.
So I duct taped it. That's how I got my first one. It was rigged. It was three of us girls. We went out. We didn't know what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, we got this. We're going to figure it out. I didn't have waders.
Gosh.
I had leggings and...
Perfect. That's fine.
Yeah.
That is so funny.
That was
funny.
My first one. Yeah.
So I'm like, you obviously didn't. Yeah. Well, actually, I did.
Yeah. We're walking in a creek. We're not doing anything fancy. But it's like trying to catch frogs. It's, you know, you really have to sneak up on them. Mm-hmm. They can sense your vibration. They swim really fast. If you try to go really fast after them, it's rocky. The water's high. It's spring. The snow is melting. So it's kind of treacherous, actually. You know, even to bring her, we were really careful. But
of course,
she's able to handle it.
She seems like a tough cookie. So back to what we're introducing you. So you live on the Oneida Reservation with your husband. You provide for your family. Your grandpa got you into hunting. So how did you realize, like, this is it? Like, when was that moment? Like, oh yeah, I love the provider lifestyle? Like, when did this happen to you? Do you exactly remember? Was it before you had children? Like,
yes, definitely before I had children. I think my first year, it was so magical. And then on my very, very first hunt, I just remember, I was a teenager. I was pretty young, and my dad put me up in the stand, and I was all by myself. And I was scared of the dark. I was scared of the woods at night.
Like, it makes funny noises that you're not prepared for.
It definitely does. I'm up high. I've got a gun. Like, you know, mm-hmm. there's so many things that were running through my mind. And I just remember one of my friends... he's actually indigenous, and he gave me some sage. And I remember I had that sage on my dresser, and like this little, it was like this little heart-shaped container, and I had glitter in there. And I remember taking it with me, and I went out that morning, and I said a prayer, and I just prayed for safety and, you know, just thankfulness that I was out there and things like that. And the wind kind of took all that, you know, and it was like, you know, there's sage and glitter and just, you know, it's just going out. But I just remember that morning there was a frost across the whole entire land, and when the sun rose that morning, it was like all that glitter mm-hmm. and everything, the whole entire landscape was glittering back at me.
It's so beautiful.
So it's almost like Creator saw what I, you know, like had to offer, and uh-huh. then gave it back to me like tenfold.
Wow.
Yeah. So it just I guess being outside in nature and seeing, like, having those beautiful experiences, you know, like I've seen owls up close. I've seen, yes. you know, a hawk just a couple feet from me come down mm-hmm. and grab a chipmunk. And there's so many magical things. And every time that you go out hunting, you almost see one of those animals. And it's almost like a gift, you know?
Oh, it definitely is. And, like, it's something, it's definitely, like you said, a gift. Like,
yes.
that saying, okay, you're providing for me, I'm going to provide for you.
Exactly.
So it's absolutely spectacular. I remember my first time I was out there, and I almost got scared out of the tree by a squirrel because I was not used to them looking yeah. down at me. I'm like, what are you gonna do? And it just started going, and they started yelling at me. I'm like, what am I going to do? And then, of course, me being like freaking out, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna scare away everything right now. But
they're so loud. And, yeah,
no,
they like just call you out.
They're working out right now to come scare us in the tree stand
right
now.
Or yeah, they definitely want you to think they're this monster buck that you're after.
Oh yeah,
and, yeah.
So you're listening to Raised in Wisco. Please give us a call at 844-967-2789. We want to hear all your first time stories and everything like that. Again, 844-967-2789. That is Lucia. That song is one of Stephanie's favorite. What is it called again?
South Side of Heaven by Ryan View. Oh,
no, okay. Just try not to blow on the mic because that's really loud over here.
It is.
It is. We're probably hearing a weird wind tunnel in everyone else's vehicle or the car or the radio because they can listen to us on... They can listen to us on the internet at civicmedia.us. Hear us on Spotify or tell your smart speaker to play Raised in Wisco. Again, give us a call at 844-967-2789. And I know the Kennedy clan is listening. Hello, Kennedy clan. John, if you're listening, I don't know if you listen to me when Joel's not here, but hello, John, if you're listening. And everyone else that's listening, hope everyone's having a safe week. This is Raised in Wisco. So before we went to break, we were talking about those squirrels working out right now to come and scare us. So we talked about your deer mm-hmm. that you got. Have you gotten a deer yet, Lucia?
No.
Oh, can you tell me about you real quick? Can you tell me how old you are and just a little bit about you? How old are you?
I'm 8 years old.
8 years old? Did you just turn eight? When's your birthday?
November 17th.
Oh, so you're coming up. You're almost nine. You almost did those double digits, girl. We're going to take our time, though, right? We don't want to pay bills or anything, do we? So what do you like, fishing or hunting? What one do you like most, fishing or hunting?
I don't know.
You don't know? I think I like hunting because it's waterfowl season, so I really like shooting my Browning Maxes, but I miss a lot. I miss so much. You need to practice. You definitely need to practice. Mm-hmm. So we were going to talk about your 66-inch.
Yes.
Tell me about this. Tell me about the day. Tell me all that happened. I'm so excited to hear about this story.
My friend Jimmy Bay and I went up north with my daughter Lucia, and he lived up in the Lake Superior area, so he knows Lake Superior really well.
Oh, nice.
And my favorite fish in the whole wide world is sturgeon. Like, I just absolutely love those fish. And so we went in April, and I wanted Lucia to go with me, and the weather is not the best. It's super cold, it's super windy, you know, it's not fun weather-wise. It's absolutely freezing, and we had to go there. I had to drive all the way up to Bayfield, and we went up and stayed up overnight. Ooh. So she was able to actually go smelting for the first time, and she got smelt.
Did you?
And that was what I used.
Did you bite off the head of the first one you got? That's what I had to do. Did you do that? No.
No.
I feel like that's something you definitely would remember.
Gross. We didn't know that was like a tradition, or she probably would have done that.
It could have been that my boyfriend just said, here, do it, and you know, I fell for it.
Yeah.
Dang. No, I feel like a fool. Okay, so you went smelting for first. Oh my gosh, yes. Okay, so continue, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. So then, yeah, we were using the smelt as bait, and I had caught two overnight. We stayed up all night, and then the sturgeon stopped biting, and we were catching brown trout. So Lucia was reeling in the brown trout. And so I had these poles rigged up specifically for sturgeon. Like, I brought my musky poles, and they had like 40-pound, you know, braided line, and I had a couple other poles set out because we were catching the brown trout on those. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of getting ready to leave. My friend Jimmy had to meet his girlfriend at the time, so we were getting ready to leave, and I just was like, okay, you know, I'm just gonna say a prayer, and if we get one, we get one. That'd be so awesome. And I've caught like within the 40 in, you know, like the 47-inch range and stuff like that. But to keep one, they have to be over 60 inches. And I really, that was like my goal. Like, I would really wanted one. So I said a prayer because I knew I didn't have that much time left. And then I went and sat back down, and within 2 minutes, I seen the rad tip going. And so it was the one that was rigged up for the trout. So there was 10-pound test line on there.
Oh,
I got up and I ran and I set the hook. And just as soon as I set the hook, I was like, oh my God. Oh no. Oh no. Like,
don't break.
Yeah. I could just feel immediately that it was not a brown trout. It was a sturgeon. I think I fought it for about 40 minutes.
Oh wow.
High anxiety. I didn't have fun. Usually I love the fight. Like, that's my favorite part, but I was so anxious just because I could tell it was really big.
Mm-hmm.
And it was staying very low. So I'm like, okay, this is a good one. And she was actually so cute. She could tell that I was really anxious.
Yeah.
And she was singing the water song in the Oneida language to me to help calm me down.
Is this like a long song? Can we hear it real quick?
Can you sing it?
I would love to hear it. It's just you. It's just us three. Can you sing it to Bandit?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
I'm scared. <It's>, Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yoga na lunko nega, yoga na lunko nega. Ka nega no lu, ka nega no lu, ya ya ya. Yo ho yo ho ya ye, yo ho yo ho ya ye. Ka nega no lu, ka nega no lu, ya 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 ya. Yo ho.
Wow, that was beautiful.
So it basically translates to like, water is precious, like, I love you. So it's translating as that. So that was what was helping calm me down because my anxiety was so high. And then I actually saw the big bubbles coming up, and I knew it was really close to the surface.
Wow.
And then we netted it, and I just... I knew it was big enough, and then we measured it, and then I just started crying. I was so happy.
Wow.
And then it had a tag in it, and the DNR had tagged it in Marquette, Michigan. So it had swam over 200 miles from Marquette to Bayfield.
Wow.
And they were the ones that measured it at 66 inches, and they said it was old enough to be my grandma.
Wow, yeah. That's spectacular.
Yeah.
So when we come back from our break, we will talk to you more about the tags on the fish, because I got a walleye with a tag on it one time, but different. Give us a call at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. That means you, Kurt Nass, call.
You did so. Because it comes to my hard-earned blade. But on the side of hell, I'm gonna want you to take me home. She's just a girl and she's on fire. Hotter than a fantasy. Lonely like a highway.
All right, this is Lucia's favorite song. Okay, so welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your co-host, Danielle Fairman. Our fearless leader, Jill Clayfish, is gone. So before our break, we were talking about tags on a fish. So a tag on the fish is not the same thing as a tag on a bird or another animal. It is like a needle sticking out. Like, what is it called when you get... needles.
Acupuncture.
Thank you. It's like an acupuncture needle with a little ribbon on it, as if you will. And then there's a number on there that you can type into the system, and you can call that call. You can call them, the DNR, and then they'll tell you where the fish was tagged and how long it was there for, how old is it, blah, 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 where it's from, all the important things you need to know. And they can send you a certificate, too. So this sturgeon, it had a tag on it. So where do they normally put tags?
It was in the back of it by the dorsal fin.
By the dorsal fin. So when you catch a fish, if you don't see it on the top or when you reel it in, then it won't have them. But you can obviously still look, take pictures, do all the things with the fish, and then release them. Or, you know, eat them, as I like to do, especially walleye. It tastes so good with Andy's bread seasoning. So good. Okay, so this sturgeon, the 66-inch sturgeon. Tell me the rest of the story.
Yeah, so I usually do catch and release, especially with sturgeon, just because they are so old. But my son was finishing up his rites of passage. So every year, it was a four-year commitment. So the first year, he fasted for one day and one night. He built a small shelter in the woods, and he stayed out there by himself, no food or water.
And so, how old is he at this point?
Oh, gosh. So he's 17 now. I think he completed it when he was 15. So at this point, maybe 14?
Okay.
No, 15. Okay. It was his fourth year, so 15. Okay. I have four kids. You know, you can't ask me how old any of them are.
Okay, I have a dog.
Because I can't tell you.
It's one of them with the face and all the things.
So he completed his fourth year of his rites of passage, so that meant four nights and 4 days out all by himself. Wow. And when he was finished with it, what happens is there's like a reintroduction into the community. So we have a really big feast, and I was able to cook the sturgeon. And that's like, I said a prayer, and I was like, if I get this fish, this is what we're going to use it for. We're going to use it, you know, to help for ceremonies and feed the community. And his feast was just amazing, because I had just gotten back from Alaska. I had halibut.
Ooh.
I had actually whale. I helped whale? Process a whale. Yes. And venison. I had like tenderloins wrapped in venison bacon. And it was really nice, and wild rice that I helped harvest. And I put on a serious feast, and it felt so good, because a lot of the, you know, everything we helped, we harvested, you know, or at least were a part of it. And then like we had maple syrup and things like that. So our family does that as well. And then we do a lot with the white corn also.
And I've been seeing on Facebook, okay, again, I, you know, Facebook stalk you. No shame. And then this white corn. Now, I want to say, I don't know much about this, but I'm still going to say it because, you know, I'm proud. You braided your first white corn process. I don't know the names of it. I don't know the whole process, but it seemed like a big, huge thing. So awesome. Congratulations. Can you tell me about the braiding of the white corn? How long did it take you to braid that? Do you remember?
About like 5 minutes.
It takes me about 5 minutes to braid one side of my hair. Why do we braid the corn? What was the why did we do that?
So you could like hang it up, and then when like you could like grind the corn in the thing, and then you could make food or like corn mush.
Corn mush?
Yeah,
corn mush. I don't know if mush is a fun word.
It's super fun when you add maple syrup and berries and nuts. Yeah.
So it's like an oatmeal type
thing. Correct.
Yes.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Yes.
I eat oatmeal every single morning. I love oatmeal. But it's not as cool as your oatmeal because mine's just store-bought.
And then you could just like grind it. You don't have to like smash it.
Yeah.
You could like keep it. Like you could make corn soup.
Corn soup.
And like you could use it for a lot of other stuff.
That's awesome. Congratulations. So, Mama, tell me more about this white corn.
So, we're part of a co-op called Ohelagu, and it's a 12...
Ohelagu.
Yes.
Dang, I can't be smooth. Sorry. Okay, continue.
So we're basically 12 families that work together for the corn, and we do planting, weeding, harvesting. Right now it's harvest time, so if you want to come up and visit, we would love to have you help harvest. We pick the corn, and then we bring it back, and we put it in a big pile, and we sit around, and we husk it, and then we lop off, you know, the bottom of the cob, so it's nice and tight so that we can braid it. And 65 cobs together is a bushel. So we braid 65 cobs. I don't even know how much it weighs. It's really heavy. And then we have a barn at my friend Twilight's house, and we climb up a ladder and hang them up. And they hang, they have a very high moisture content, and there's a lot of protein in the white corn. So we actually will hang it up until about February or March, and then it's time to bring them down, and then we start shelling the corn. We have corn shellers, and then there's, as she said, there's different things that we can make with the white corn.
I feel like I am missing out on so much that life has to offer right now.
Come visit.
I definitely will.
Should,
because my parents live up in Amro, so it's not too far away, and I drive all the time. I drive everywhere, so might as well. And I would love to say I have off Saturdays, but my boss just told us today, hey, we're working Saturdays. I was like, oh okay. that's a whole other thing. You just talk to people and you find out their lifestyle. Because when I first met you, I did not picture all of this. This is absolutely fantastic. I feel like I am losing out on life right now because I just go to the grocery store. I buy my oatmeal, buy the packet, and I pour it in my little bowl and just put it in the microwave. There's definitely so much more I can offer. So this white corn, is it like sacred? Like, I don't want to say sacred. Is sacred a bad word to say about this?
No,
is it like,
that's okay to use. It's very, it's part of the Three Sisters. So corn, bean, and squash. And it was, it's main sustenance for the Oneida people. It still is. But it used to make up about 80% of their diet. It still makes up a big chunk, especially in our family where we're working with it. There's different things that you can make with it. So like there's corn soup and things like that. So a lot of times at celebrations in the community, you'll see corn soup or cornbread, gunnestolhal, or corn mush, like as Lucia was talking about. There are different ceremonies in Oneida. So they do like a green corn ceremony when it's ready for green corn, and then there's a harvest ceremony as well. Corn has been around forever. Like, if there's stories in the creation story about corn, and they say when Sky Woman fell from the sky, and then when she passed away, they say that corn actually grew from her breasts, and then beans and squash grew from her. The corn takes the nitrogen out of the soil, and the beans put the nitrogen back into the soil. The squash grow around it, so we don't have to weed.
Oh, yay!
But back to what I said, where the corn grows out of her breasts, they kind of refer to it as like a mother's milk, and like when a mother nurses her baby, she gives that baby everything that baby needs with her breast milk, and the corn gives everything that the people need.
Wow.
So it's really like highly revered, you know?
I would say, so when I drive down the road, I'm just looking at, you know, sweet corn and regular yellow corn.
Yes.
Where gosh, I feel like an idiot. Ask, where can I find white corn?
You'd have to come up and visit me.
I really want to try this white corn. You can just eat it like a normal butter and salt.
When it's green corn, yes, you can eat it normal with like butter and salt. But then like this time of year, it's harvest time. So now it's like the harder dry corn. It's actually a flint corn. Oh. So that's why we braid it and hang it to dry. And then we have different methods to prepare it.
That's awesome.
And the corn actually saved George Washington and his troops at Valley Forge.
Saved
him, yes. Valley Forge was one of the coldest winters on record, and George Washington and his troops were not prepared at all for that winter. And so Chief Shenandoah, who was Oneida, actually heard about it and that they were having a hard time and they were, you know, fighting for their own sovereignty from Britain. And so they walked several hundred bushels of white corn a distance from Green Bay to Chicago, and they delivered the white corn. And there was actually an Oneida woman who is named Polly Cooper who came along with. And they say George Washington is the father of our country, but she should be recognized as the mother of our country. And she took care of all of them. She cooked for them. So if it wasn't for the Oneidas and their generosity of sharing the white corn, George Washington would have never survived and his troops would have never won at Valley Forge. And our history would be completely different than it is
different.
Today.
So Oneida is definitely nothing to be messed with.
Right.
You guys are tall. So, okay. I want to go back to a question I thought of. So you said 12 families make this up?
Yes.
So is that like a normal size? Is it 12 is a normal size? Do all of you live like right next to each other?
We all live.
Am I allowed to ask these questions?
Yeah. So it's 12 of our friends or 12 of our close friends that became family kind of thing.
That's
so
awesome.
So it's just a bunch of us like corn nerds working together doing corny things all the time, right?
Oh, corny things.
But yeah, it was just kind of Laura Manthe was the one that was like the mastermind behind it. She started it and it got national attention. Her and my Aunt Toni were actually at a part of Farm Aid, and they were on stage with like Willie Nelson. Ooh. And John Mellencamp and Dave Matthews, and they were talking about the white corn, and it was really awesome, you know, to see that and to see like my idols like Neil Young and stuff. They were just like listening to them so intensely, and I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's just nice, like for our own food sovereignty, you know, to be able to have some, you know, for my family of six all year round, and then to be able to share, you know, with our friends, family, and community, and things like that. And then some of the corn went to the elder food boxes, and Lucia and her younger brother, who are six, they actually shelled 90 pounds of corn
90
that went to
pounds?
The elder food boxes. Yeah.
Oh man, I feel like you should have the muscles of, Popeye. Do you know Popeye? He ate spinach through his corn pipe and
the only Popeye that she knows is probably the chicken place. Yeah. We are old.
Oh no. Well, this was a fun episode until now. Right, Bandit? Our Bandit, our mascot Bandit's still here. I'm surprised you haven't heard him bark yet. I feel like it'd be really cool for me to come out there. I feel like I have to make this like but you posted on Facebook again that you're going to be so busy the rest of this year with the harvesting. And
yes, and unfortunately, it's like during like bow season.
Oh yeah,
you know,
of course we have to get that.
That's
in
when we're the busiest with the corn, so it's always like hard for me to find that balance. But.
Yeah. What about ice fishing? Are you big? You guys into ice fishing?
Lucia is actually sponsored by Neptune Ice Fishing Rods. So am I. But
ooh,
she's
junior pro staff over here.
So that's pretty exciting. We absolutely love ice fishing and living on the bay. It's great. You know, the perch fishing especially is really good.
Oh yes, perch are delicious. Well, I have winter seasons because you know I work construction, so I have our. During the winter, we get slowed down or we just get, you know, laid off.
Mm-hmm.
But I have school, but I definitely would love to come up there and ice fish with you. I can bring my boyfriend and my dog because, you know, I don't go anywhere without Bandit.
That would be awesome.
That would be so much fun. And, oh, gosh, I think we tried a couple new recipes. So we had to, like, swap recipes. See, this, again, woman, if you guys want to, this is all it takes. You just send a message, send a shout out. Be like, hey, can I come up ice fishing with you? Can I come out and do this with you?
Absolutely.
We would... And love to teach.
I'm going to put a plug in for Wisconsin Woman Fish for all the ladies out there. Please join Wisconsin Woman Fish. It's a really awesome group of ladies, all different skill levels. We all work together. We all help each other. And there's many fishing trips all around the state all year round. So I think it's $25 a year for the membership. And then you're invited to all these awesome fishing.
Is this like on Facebook or can you just go online and do it?
Both. They have a website and a Facebook. But it's called Wisconsin Woman Fish. And it's just
so
awesome.
I double dog dare all the ladies out there. If you do it, I'll do it. But you're listening to Raised in Wisco. It has been an absolute wonderful time, a pleasure. We'll get her back real soon. Give us a call at 844-967-2789 any Thursday. Thanks for listening. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. Give us a call at 844-967-2789. And for everyone that's terrified of talking on the radio, it's okay. You can send us a text message. So this is my last week being solo. Joel will be back next week. And then the following week, I'll be gone. And the week after that. So we'll be together for one more week and then be him. Which I'm sure a lot of you are going to be super happy because I have all these girl things to talk about. But going back to our last conversation, I don't remember what our last conversation. There's so many things we talk about after.
I'm just concentrating on this food, man.
So before I came here, like I said, she lives on the Oneida Reservation, which is 2 hours north. She has not had Jimmy's Garado, and we're a downtown Waukesha, 217 Wisconsin Avenue, wall of windows. So you can come by and see us. You can talk to Bandit, come hang out with us, do whatever you would like. But Jimmy's Garado, Panzeradas, is right down the street. She says she really wanted one, so I just picked one up. And they were definitely enjoying it.
Yes, it's as good as I remember them being, so I was pretty excited.
Yay! Lucia is just... It is bigger than her face. It is bigger than her face, and she is just holding with two small itty bitty hands and just mowing down it. Yep, it's girl after my own heart. Food. So, turkey hunting. I was out goose hunting, and also a bunch of turkeys walked on by, and I'm like, yes. Turkey season's here. I love hunting turkeys. This is like definitely one of my favorite. I think the reason why I love hunting waterfowl and birds and all that kind of stuff and deer and not my favorite is because scent. I feel like I carry so much scent in my hair and my clothes. And even when I use scent-free, because we already changed our wash machine to scent-free stuff, dryers scent-free, and we have those Onyx at home too. But I still feel like everything I have just has like a scent to it. Or it also could be that I'm really, you know, I move a lot, so I scare all the deer away. but yes, I saw a turkey and I was going to shoot it, but never came by. But calling turkey.
Yes.
I have a diaphragm. It took me so long to get, and people are listening, a diaphragm is like this U-shaped thing that you put in your mouth on the roof of your mouth, and then there's a little slit in the middle of it where it has like this plastic rubberish thing that has two or three slits in it, and you have to like... vibrate. You have to learn to push your tongue on top of your mouth and just like push air through your mouth, which we all do when we're talking, so this sounds silly, but it's a little bit different. But when I used it for my first time, oh my gosh, I could not stop laughing because it just tickled so much. So I'm like, okay, box call, I'm gonna use a box call. And I got my first turkey with a box call. Have you ever called in a turkey?
I have, yes.
You have?
Yes, I'm a mentor for a Pulaski Learn to Hunt program. Ooh. So I've mentored my own kids, but I also mentor other youth. And then I took a blind lady out this year, but we didn't see anything. It was such late season. Well, we had one come in, but it just didn't come close enough where she was able to take a shot. And she actually had a really cool hologram scope. So I could see what she was seeing down the barrel or would have been down the barrel for her. I could see it in the holographic scope.
That's pretty cool.
Lucia, it was during the pandemic time, and you know, all the shelves were running out of meat. There wasn't a lot of food, and we were trying to get outside and yet be isolated as much as possible, but we were just enjoying the outdoors. And during the pandemic time, I think my kids, like, really understood, like, not just mom's weird and why do you love hunting and fishing so much, but they understood, like, why we do it, right? Because then we really needed to rely on our own food and our own meat. So I had her and her brother in a blind, and they actually kind of started fighting a little bit because we were, like, in a tiny little blind, and they're you know, they're getting sick of each other, and we weren't seeing anything. And I handed the slate call over to Lucia. And do you want to tell the rest of the story?
Lucia?
What's happening?
So I started calling the turkey, and I just, like, held it with my left hand and then scraped it with my right. And then it made this sound. And then
so what did what did you scrape it with? So you have the slate in your left hand. What did you have in your right hand? Because people don't know what you're talking about.
A kind of wooden thing.
Yeah, like a wooden stick with a handle. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so did you do it?
Yeah. Yeah. I did it a couple times, and then we waited, and then the turkey came at. I was nervous, and I kept my mouth shut.
Was that hard for you? Because it's hard for me sometimes. I kept my mouth shut. I feel like somebody told you, keep your mouth shut. It's probably just quiet over there.
Or her older brother.
Shh, quiet.
And he pointed his gun up, and then he shot it, and it was like this big, loud noise.
Yeah.
And then when we looked, it was on the ground. So we came out, and then Daniel picked it up, and it was dead. I forgot where he shot it.
Yeah.
In the head. In the head. Or the neck, like the base of the neck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got it in the head, too.
Was that your first time calling? Was it your first time doing that?
Yeah.
That was your first time?
Yeah.
You called one in right away? Mm-hmm. Did you have a conversation? Did it cluck back at you? Did it... Was it talking to you and you talk back to it?
Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah? That's so cool, isn't that?
Mm-hmm.
I remember calling my it was mine and Joel's first time hunting together, and then he called one in from, like, 200 yards away. I don't understand how they heard it, but they did, and it just started trotting through the field, across the creek, and then it came right to us, and that was superb. Was that, so Daniel, was that his first turkey, or was he normal?
Yeah.
So, this was your first time calling.
Yeah.
And then his first turkey.
Yeah.
Oh, hot dog. Was that your first time bringing them both together with you?
Yeah.
Oh, it was very daring to bring two kids with you, too.
She's been hunting. Well, I was hunting with her when she was in the womb, and her brothers, too. But she's been coming along as soon as I could bring her along. I shot a deer with her. She's helped me track almost every single one of my deers. We used to put her on our backs and, like, carry her.
Like a little backpack?
Yeah, I'd take her hunting with me all the time. So she's pretty much raised in that lifestyle. And then... Actually, my son Daniel just shot his first bear not too long ago.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was really meaningful. My nephew passed away from cancer. He was 16 years old and his name was Nelson. And my son Daniel actually used Nelson's gun and harvested his first bear. So it was really, really meaningful.
It is.
Yeah, it was a really cool experience.
Well, that's a perfect story to end on. Thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing that. Is definitely, and thank you, Lucia, for the song. That was a great song, and when I come back up to Ice Fish with you, I want to hear that song again, because that was something special. You've been listening to Raised in Wisco. We're live in Waukesha. Come by next Thursday, hear us, tell your speakers to play us. Give us a call. Thank you, everyone. Have a good night. Stay safe.